What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I am your host, Jeff, your host.
What?
Jeff, ooh, of the Dome Patrol Podcast. You know, they acted like I was on vacation, but really they just stopped telling me when they were recording so that they could try to have the show without me. But I figured them out. Anyway, we got a game this week.
Oh,
right. Don't we have a football game?
We're actually going to have a game preview section?
We might.
Who are we playing?
Don't the Saints have a game this week?
Is it the Ravens?
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, Saturday, right?
Success. I'm already in.
Or Sunday in England.
That's right. Anyway, so Michael Thomas also is not coming off the way he thinks he is. Jameis Winston keeps saying all the right things, and I have to correct Scott for something he said last week, putting words in my mouth. Davenport is shining against the backups. CJGJ's mouth might be in jeopardy this season, and our special teams took a real kick in the nuts this week. Saints fans don't know what to expect from the team this year, and as the season approaches, who knows if we'll even get a chance to watch it unfold in person, thanks to COVID and LaToya, two things that are essentially the same thing. We've got a lot to unpack in this week's episode, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all time, and enjoy the show. I'm going to start with Jason. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'll go with the one. Got a little cocktail here. I'm nursing an injury, so I'm trying to. My excuse is I'm trying to kill the pain of this calf injury that I suffered last night. I thought softball was supposed to be an injury-free sport. That's why I don't play football or basketball. And when you get old, that
for young people, it is injury-free.
I'm halfway.
Did you return the calls to your coaches and teammates?
I will when they text me. I definitely don't. I definitely don't ghost them.
He's an MT sympathizer right now.
Hey, you know what? I'm injured, but I'm here.
There. Oh, that's true. Good for you. All right. Scott, welcome to the show.
What's your number? I do not have a number.
We're getting some audio issues from you, Scott.
You don't have the same internet. Y'all got different providers because Jeff's is much better than Scott's and y'all live two doors down.
I even put a shovel through mine 2 weeks ago.
Well, Jeff just got a new line put in because he put a shovel through it.
Smart. Smart.
I wanted to upgrade my internet.
Wait, he knew with the new season coming, right? He couldn't afford to have any screw ups.
That's right. All right. That is Scott from the Tigers, Dan. You said you have a zero. We also have Ben from the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show that happens every post game during the. Is it going to be the preseason, Ben, or the regular season is only?
Probably not preseason because, well, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It will be like 4 o'clock in the morning by the time the game finishes. But I don't know. I think I'm about number three at the moment. Got a couple of gin pizza night tonight. So I'm making some homemade pizzas. Had a good night. It's good to finally be back on a show that talks Saints because I said we did our.
It's about time you joined a show.
Yeah, well.
Hey, we did a Pelican show this week.
Yeah, as I say, I've done Pelicans. I've done the Euro 2020 podcast. So yeah.
Don't talk about that.
Jeff, in fairness, Jeff, he's been on more podcasts than you over the last few months.
So. Oh, I've been on other podcasts.
So's Ash.
I was on the happy hour. Helped them get on Twitch.
Oh, no.
Then they kicked me off because I was good.
And I got married. And I got married this summer, so that was my excuse of missing some podcasts.
All right, there you go. James from the Premier League podcast, the other podcast that will not be mentioned. And of course the old Saints UK podcast, but now Dome Patrol. Welcome, James. What's your number?
I'm a one. I've just had my first beer whilst we were warming up. I've got another couple of beers in the fridge to go to when this one's finished. So yeah, a one.
And the Taysom Hill of the Dome Patrol Network from the BSN Beer and the Dome Patrol Podcast, Wes. Welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. I'm about a five. Had a drinking lunch today at work. And
holy shit.
We're continuing going.
So you still having lunch?
No, lunch is over.
kind of looks like Taysom Hill too a little bit, doesn't he?
He kind of does, I guess so. Well, the old Taysom, not the new.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he doesn't have Taysom. The guns anymore.
But. Well, I don't know. What do your calves look like?
Bigger than his.
I just this is okay. This is going down a dark hole.
Say, Cat Taro would fawn over you if we were live streaming.
Jeff, have you got a number?
No, actually, I don't have a number at all. I've not had anything to drink. I drank all week, every day, all day last week while in Panama City. So I'm trying to lose the 4 pounds that I gained. So I'm on a no drinking until Friday rule.
Smart.
Have you thought of masturbating? You could hold a lot of extra weight.
Hello, all right, let's get into some Saints conversation because that's what this podcast is known for. I want to bring up the Michael Thomas thing. I know y'all talked about it a lot last week ad nauseum. I know the whole Saints Who Dat Nation is talking about it, but he did tweet something, or Jeff Duncan tweeted something. He liked the tweet. He suggests, bottom line is, if we pick up where you left off last week, the new development is that he is claiming he was forced to play through his injury last year, barely, because it was all about Drew Brees getting a Super Bowl and everyone must sacrifice their lives for Drew Brees to get a Super Bowl. And
shit. He thinks
because of this. So I want to hear everybody's take on, is he like, is that right that the team asked him to play through an injury, or was that injury too serious and they should have had him have the surgery?
He was very vocal at the start of last year that the last season was all about getting the ring for Drew Brees. And that was unprompted from him saying that himself.
Oh, and before the injury.
Before the injury. Yeah, before the injury. But, you know, I mean, it doesn't come as a surprise to me that things have gone sour. You know, Ben, we've had conversations with somebody who told us that this was coming.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise that this is where it's ended up.
Yeah. So Delvin Bro tweeted pretty much like sympathizing with Michael Thomas, saying basically same thing happened to me, and accusing basically the Saints organization of being selfish pricks who are only interested in winning football games and expecting their players to play.
Hang on, Jeff.
What the deuce?
They want to win football games. That's the idea of a football team.
It seems like Michael Thomas and Delvin Bro think it should be something else.
Well, and that's the thing. In that aspect, every other NFL team is like that. The NFL has been known to be a crushing business, and guys get injured all the time. And they kind of
paid so much,
right? And look, they do kind
especially
of
how much Michael Thomas was being paid.
Well, that too.
Exactly.
If you're injured, then obviously you want to protect your asset. And now the only thing I might say is Ochsner doctors don't have the best record for diagnosing how serious an injury is.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. Hi, Dr. Nick. Yeah, nobody gave you that last week, Jason.
That's okay.
So then all of that being said, then what's your excuse, Michael, for not returning phone calls all offseason, for not having surgery? If you're saying you should have had the surgery in the fall, why did you?
I try to be nice. I try to live my life, but everyone else is an asshole. I try to forgive. I try to live and let live, but everyone else is an asshole. And everybody else thinks of no one but themselves, and no one wants to help because they're all assholes.
He wanted to rehab on company time, not on his own time, didn't he? That's the crux of it, I think, is that he felt slighted and wanted to rehab when he's being paid, I guess, because obviously players don't get paid in the off season, do they?
regardless of anything else, and no matter what the Saints did last year, with his little likes and this kind of stuff, it's clear that this is a vindictive thing for him. Like, his entire reason for not returning their phone calls was to miss the start of the season, regardless of fans and organization and teammates and all of that thing. I mean, so, and I just don't understand what one thing has to do with the other. He can be mad about last season and they talked me into playing and they should have set me down, all that kind of stuff. But that, I don't understand how that translates into I'm going to screw over the entire team and fan base this season.
Right.
It's just, I mean, there's nothing that can be, you know, deferred from it besides it being a vindictive thing of him being a little diva and being an asshole.
This has been going on for a long time, Michael Thomas. And I think Peyton's finally had enough. And that's why you've now seen this stuff. I think this leak has come from Peyton, because I think Peyton's probably had 100%. Enough of him not returning calls and said, you know what, enough's enough now. I'm just going to call you out on it.
Right. I don't even think, right, the phone, not returning phone call wasn't the straw.
I think that's the final straw.
No, because he would have leaked that before. I think he showed up with an attitude.
Yeah, the whole thing is also when he punched Gardner Johnson in practice as well from last year. But I disagree. I listened to last week's show and you guys were saying like, oh, fuck Mickey Loomis, fuck Sean Payton and stuff like that. I don't put this on Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton at all.
Well, I would put enough. I mean, there's blame to go around. It's crazy to me that they even just allowed this to happen and couldn't fix it.
Well,
and
I know they're trying to get hold of it.
Hold on. But like this stuff came out that is strictly from Sean's perspective. So of course he's going to make it look like it was all Thomas. And look, Thomas definitely shares a lot of blame on this, but I hate the fact that we're now to this point and just that I hate the fact that they couldn't fucking just figure it out.
If they've gone past point in their return now, there's no way he plays for the Saints next season.
But I agree. I'm on Ben's side. Like, this is not a Sean Payton unaccountability argument that Jason's been making all year.
I was the one that said the fuck Sean Payton, fuck Mickey Loomis, and I'll be the first to say that if what was reported was true, that Michael Thomas wasn't the one picking up the phone calls, then I take that statement back. But like kind of like Scott. Jason said, we're only hearing one side of the story now. Michael Thomas' side of the story is probably utter bullshit, and he's going to say whatever he needs to say to.
It may be.
It's like to get Mike.
When you don't hold yourself accountable, you make excuses, and you're the victim, and everybody else is wrong. That's what I'm picking up from Michael.
Now, the one thing that I hate about it is that clearly, I think it's Sean. Possibly it was somebody else in the building leaked everything to Duncan, and he posted it. Like, don't fucking do that. Like, what? You know, like why? Like. That's petty on their part. Now, maybe they're just pissed Michael Thomas being an asshole.
Yeah, that's what
I get
is.
It. Don't have this shit come out in the media like
don't
this.
Play
like
your,
that
don't,
to me, right. I don't agree stuff. With that.
Well, if Michael Thomas isn't returning phone calls, that might be the only way you can fucking do it.
Yeah, get his name out there. But there's things that these journalists like Duncan and stuff get told, and they don't report it because they say, look, honestly, you know, this is
off the record.
Peyton's like, you know what, Jeff. Jeff, you post this today.
Yeah.
And what's funny is when they asked Peyton about Michael Thomas's last post about
he liked something his cryptic tweet.
Sean's I'm not gonna talk about stuff that happens on social media.
Like, right.
You're the one that put the shit out there in the first place. Like, what are you talking about?
He didn't tweet it. He tweeted
what he had it put out. He might as well have
written
it.
He's playing a better game. He's playing chess. Michael Thomas is playing checkers.
But like, again, this doesn't help any. Like, this petty.
Well, what I wonder is trade value impact. So obviously, Sean Payton is going to want to get rid of Michael Thomas. He wants him out of the locker room. But, all right, if Michael Thomas is ready to play, and I agree, like he's going to be a Saint at least to the offseason, right? They're not going to trade. Wes, you think he's going to be traded this season?
I wouldn't be surprised if we see something before the season starts. Mentioning trade value, I don't think his trade value is any different right now than it was 2 weeks ago. The injury is the injury, but this is talking about this. Somebody actually, his trade value is higher right now than it will be next offseason, because if somebody trades for him now, his new team is going to pay him $1 million for 2021. Now, they might only get 8 or 9 games or 10 games, but they're paying him $1 million. The next 2 years, he's going to make 15 to 16 million. But the real deal is if you get him this season, and then you're essentially paying him $31 million over the next three seasons. Now,
can the Saints afford it?
It depends on what we get back. So, I mean, if you're talking about the difference between us, if we can trade him for a starting level cornerback that's on a rookie contract and get a couple of high draft picks that are going to come in and have lower salaries.
Then there's some money to save there somewhere.
Versus, we are going to have to, if we're going to be competitive this year, we're going to have to some point, whether now or at the trade deadline, find a $10 or $12 million a year cornerback. I mean,
Wes, what would you take for Michael Thomas? What trade would you take?
The Jaguars thing with Henderson is what's being rumored a lot right now. If there's smoke there might be fire. I'd say CJ Henderson and then the Jaguars first and second. I'd say first and second, but maybe we settle for first and third just because we're trying to make this happen. Jaguars haven't lost any of their draft picks for next year. They've got 2/5, and so maybe a first, third, and fifth, something like that. But I think the first and second along with Henderson makes a lot of sense for the Saints and for the Jaguars.
But do the Saints
like that's going to be about a trade value.
Deshaun Watson's trade value hasn't been impacted. I mean, his ability to be traded has been impacted, but the trade value, the Eagles, the Broncos, multiple other teams are ready to trade for him the moment he isn't going to jail.
This is the NFL. Like, one team's trash is another team's treasure.
Michael Thomas being a dickhead to the Saints does not affect his value on the next team when you're talking about paying him $10 million a year for the next 3 years. And then you've got an option to pay him 17 the next year. So
and with the Jaguars, it's his college coach. So
for sure, like they're going to feel a lot safer making that trade than other teams.
Now, do you really think the Saints should get another 2 firsts?
I mean, it's working out for the fourth season, apparently, for this
against the backups.
Finally working out.
Yeah, it just may take a while for it. That's all.
No, yeah. All right. So another thing, you know, y'all talked about last week, we got Quan back. I liked Gunn's, what do you say? Quan, DeMario, and Pete. You got the Pete and Pete.
Bam, bam, and, bam, bam.
Yep. Only on the Dome Patrol podcast are you going to get the Pete and Pete intro.
That's not the first time I played it, by the way.
Let's just take inventory real quick. So Quan Alexander returns from an Achilles injury earlier than is humanly possible, while Michael Thomas is out for 2 years because somebody rolled on his ankle. You big baby. People need to be more like Quan if they're going to play for this team.
Another thing that sucks about the whole situation is that his injury happened on a
game that was over.
That was over.
And disarray in one man's life.
Next item up for bids is I need to correct Scott something he said last week, and
only one thing.
It's either this or sue him for slander. He said that I have for years called Drew Brees a phony, which is a misrepresentation of my position.
You said he was funny.
I said the diamonds he bought were phony. What I had always said was that when Drew Brees, I just heard it. When Drew Brees talked, he sounded like a politician who said a bunch of things, and I just didn't believe what was genuine about what he was saying. I felt like a lot of times he was saying what he felt like we need, the way he needed to say it or what he needed to say to us. I never said that was a phony. I just said I felt like it was disingenuous. And I think there's a difference between calling the man.
Do I need to get my thesaurus and see if phony and disingenuous are basically the same word?
Do it.
Because they are basically the same word.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, how I feel Jameis is doing.
That's where I disagree. I feel I actually am buying into the genuineness, and maybe Jameis is better at selling it than Drew Brees is. Maybe Jameis is a better speaker than Drew Brees was. Drew Brees was polished and practiced and rehearsed, but I think maybe it was after all the years. I never heard like the passion in Drew Brees' voice. I heard, he bite his bottom lip and yeah, this is what we needed. He'd give his eyebrows go like inverted to where he gets that serious look on his face. And it was like, we need to practice hard. We need to do. And he just kind of went through the talking points where Jameis, I feel like, is speaking like with passion and from the heart. And no, I don't think Drew Brees like was being phony about it. I just, the style didn't affect me.
Well, see, do you think there's a difference between Brees seems to, from as far back as we can see on him in college and high school, where he's doing his tennis championships and all that stuff, like he seems to have always been hardworking, driven, focused. Like that's just who he is as a person, not who he's learned to be. Like I think maybe he was raised that way. And yeah. Jameis, I think, has learned to be that way by making the mistakes that he made in the past. I don't know if that makes it more or less genuine and necessarily the right word, but Jameis was not that way. I think he is that way because he realized, one, what he was losing, two, what people actually thought about him, and just three, how he was representing himself as a man. And, you know, I think that he truly learned, like, I don't want to be that person. And again,
he doesn't want to be the eat the dub person.
He's 26 years old. I mean, he's realized this really early in life before, you know, a lot of people get to where they kind of look back on all the mistakes they made. If he can realize this at 26, and I agree, I think he's being extremely genuine. I buy into the things that he's saying. And that doesn't mean he's going to be the best quarterback in the NFL next year. I think he's going to work hard enough right to do that if he does have that ability.
I feel the exact opposite about Drew and Jameis as you. I felt Drew was more genuine and Jameis is not is a little more disingenuous. Now, with all that being said, I could give two shits. I want them to win fucking ball games. That's all okay. I care about.
All right. This is the other thing I wanted to bring up. So like, I get that you wanted to bring win football games, but can you not acknowledge and celebrate the fact like the check marks along the way, the benchmarks along
it.
The way?
I'm not buying it.
He's committed, even if he's committed to become a better speaker, he's putting the effort in. He is putting he's trying, he's doing the things that the ingredients that lead to, I mean, if he's not a good player, it's something else, but at least it's not for lack of trying.
Where's your benchmark, Scott? Like, is it when he is named the starter? Is it when he is 1-0, 3-0, when it is he's thrown
touchdowns
before throwing an interception?
Like, you're rooting against
him. Like is it at the end of the year?
I am definitely is.
I
am not rooting against him. I think my benchmark, honestly, is consistency. And
when he has announced the starting quarterback here in 2 months or whatever a month. He has been consistent throughout all of training camp. So
He hasn't been. Go back and look at his days. He has not put 2 or 3 days together. And that's why the quarterback battle keeps going back and forth. I listened to Underhill this morning on AFR, and he even said that Jameis, neither quarterback has been consistent. He says, I give the nod to Jameis right now based on what I saw yesterday. But he needs to string 2 or 3 practices together where he's more consistent for me to give him the nod overall to start. Otherwise, if he has a bad day today, they'll go back to being even in my mind. This is Underhill. This is somebody that watches him every single day of practice, who knows a hell of a lot more about it than I do. And I'm going by what he says, and I agree with him. I need that consistency. Now, look, it's hard to find. There's 32 teams that are looking for the same thing. We had it with Drew for 15 years.
We've not had it from Drew in multiple years. It's been multiple years. So I just want to make sure. So the last few years, you were not supportive of Drew being our quarterback because he has not been consistent.
So he's thrown a lot of picks and not had a high completion percentage.
You can't cherry pick those are the same stat. I mean they're related, but you can't pick the one thing he's good at. He hasn't thrown the ball more than 3.5 yards downfield.
It doesn't matter. I don't care if Jameis throws the ball more than 3.5 yards downfield.
Yeah, we kind of do.
But you said you want to win football games.
If he wins games, completes passes, doesn't throw interceptions.
Okay, well, hold on.
Teddy Bridgewater needs to be our starter this year because he went 5-0 the last time he got a chance.
He's consistent. I want consistency at the quarterback position. Who doesn't want consistency at the quarterback
position? But this is the point. Bridgewater didn't go 5-0. The team went 5-0. The defense went 5-0. Teddy Bridgewater did not play very well in those five games.
What other position on the team
did they judge
just wins and losses other than quarterback? What other positions? Well,
okay, yeah, okay, but that's not
that, for that, a quarterback. They have wins. Okay,
but
and
that's
they
but that's stupid. That's stupid media bullshit. The team is a lot lesser now than it was the last 4 years.
Now, do you think Aaron Brooks is the greatest quarterback in the history of the New Orleans Saints, or second greatest?
He threw a backwards pass.
Because the stack, well, but statistically, the wins and losses, he won the first playoff game. So him and Drew Brees.
Okay, he won the first playoff game. Drew Brees won a Super Bowl.
Okay, so he's the second
Drew Brees
best quarterback.
Is the fucking goat.
Then,
I mean,
he's
you can't,
then
can't
fine. He's the second best quarterback.
I mean, there. Based on your argument.
I'm not talking about
he did
Aaron
win
Brooks.
An ESPY.
I'm talking about Jameis Winston. I just want consistency. When he, in his last year with Tampa, and tell me if I'm wrong, there were games they went back and forth with him and Fitzpatrick swapping starting positions.
Dude,
because neither one of
apples,
them were consistent.
That's apples and
what
tomatoes.
Has he done since then that I can compare it to?
Hey, but they like, a whole different organization, okay. A whole
but
different
but he hasn't
coaching,
shown
a whole different team that he's playing with. He was 2 years
and Taysom
young,
has?
I can't compare
but, okay,
it to. I'm not
wait,
even saying Taysom.
But he chose
I said
to do
the
that.
Quarterback position. I want consistency for the quarterback position. Whoever the fucking quarterback is, I want
we all want that, but
thank
like,
you. That's all I'm saying. He hasn't shown anything.
No, but the difference is you refuse to acknowledge
until
that
I see
he's
it on
good,
the field.
He has
I
a
have nothing
chance.
Else to compare it to.
Are you rooting
in
for
games,
him?
Yes, I'm rooting for him. I'm a fucking Saints fan.
Well, then
why
can't
would
you just
root for him?
Then why can't you celebrate a step in the
if
right
he
direction?
He does good and wins games. I will praise him. I will do whatever the fuck you want me
why
to say.
Why can't you praise the
because
step along the way, celebrate the progress.
Oh, okay. So, he's a great talker.
You guys have been very disrespectful to Ian Book.
Jameis has a great career as a an announcer when he finishes playing ball because he speaks well. He's
so,
an awesome speaker.
So, you know, Scott must hate Archie Manning because he didn't win shit.
I don't hate anybody. Who do I hate? I don't hate anybody.
Obama.
My kids say the word sometimes.
You definitely hate Obama.
I hate this teacher or I hate this person. I'm like,
John
you
Bell
don't
Edwards.
Anybody.
You definitely hate John Bell Edwards.
I don't like him, but I don't hate him. I don't wish any.
Well, I mean, we all hate LaToya.
Yeah. I don't wish any
Michael
ill,
Thomas.
Ill will on
he definitely hates Mike.
I don't wish any ill will on
all
I might
the
not
Falcons.
Like them or like the things they do, but I don't want anybody to get hurt or injured or
Tommy Lee Lewis.
Like, that's hate.
Tommy Lee Lewis.
That's hate.
Steve Young.
What's wrong with Steve Young? I like Steve Young.
Really? He was the San Francisco.
He was the first coming of Taysom.
There you go.
I like the good old days where Scott was so had such a hard on for Taysom. I miss those days.
I like Taysom, but I don't like him.
He's just concealing it.
Oh, see, he likes Taysom.
Why?
I don't like him.
He has not been consistent.
I don't like him at quarterback. I don't like him at quarterback. Every time he stepped on the quarterback last year, and I said this last show, and I'll say it again. Every time he lined up at the quarterback position, I said, "Oh shit." Because
so as a Saints fan, who do you want to be our starter this year?
Ian Book.
Let me ask you this, Scott.
I think it's going to be Winston. I think it's going to be Winston, and I hope he does well. I also think that there is a possibility we may be drafting a quarterback next year or picking one up in free agency.
What do you think about the reports? Was it from Will Blackman, wasn't it, who said he believes that the Saints are going to have Aaron Rodgers as quarterback next year?
If he wins, I'm happy. He's shown he can win over a long period of time. Aaron Rodgers has. Where has Jameis shown, other than at the professional level, where has Jameis shown that he can win on a consistent basis? If he does it, I'm happy and I'm glad. I am a Saints fan. I want them to win. All I'm saying is y'all are fucking blowing him over his talks at a press conference.
We're not.
After
we just
practice.
Said, I like
we're
what
not.
I'm
we're
hearing.
Just excited.
All we
I
said
like
was
it.
I like what I hear. And yeah. You say, not until he wins the Super Bowl.
No, sir. I do
Super
not
Bowl.
Believe it.
See, y'all are
no, sir. I don't like
mouth.
It.
Y'all are put words on
I think people are excited because it's just something different. It's something new.
And
that's
and if we keep on getting
get
injuries,
for.
It doesn't matter what the fuck he does because we're not going to win a lot of games anyway.
That's
we're already out. We're already out our kicker. We're out Onyemata. We're out P. Rob. We're out Michael Thomas. We're out. You know, probably Lattimore due to suspension. I mean, those are tough roads. Those are tough. You know, if one or two of those happens, maybe you can survive. But when you have all that happen, like holy shit! Like,
where's Gunn when where's Gunn when you need him for the next odds of the next Saints player's injured?
And that's what, like, so what's the accumulation that you feel is going to really hurt this team? I mean, we're the cornerback position, the wide receiver experience. What else?
It's cornerback. Cornerback is the biggest worry.
It's one cornerback. One cornerback. While Ken Crawley is playing lights out.
Two.
And
Lattimore and P. Rob.
And
Lattimore's probably going to be suspended
P-Rob,
at some point.
P. Rob's retiring.
P. Rob's
I know,
retiring.
But Lattimore is going to be. But he still was. He might have been a starter. I don't know.
That would have been atrocious.
They need to get somebody in there. They need to either
trade. I think beyond everybody, when you're talking about all these the last episodes, six games, five games, it's getting worse and worse. The cumulative effect, all these problems. One, every team deals with injuries. Every team has holes in their roster. Nobody has all pros starting in every position. You're not going to have 22 all pros. And your coaching staff, I mean, the defensive line, the linebackers are going to make this one other cornerback better, and Ken Crawley, you know, maybe PJ Williams. I don't know, but it's not Debo. It's not like a high school kid is playing over there. Number two, receivers? If Callaway steps up, I mean, every team you lose players, you replace them with new players. Like Michael Thomas came in, and his first year he was great.
And then we traded Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. I mean, so we sit here and we have gaps, we have holes, but I don't see the cumulative effect that you guys are seeing to where we should be thinking six games, seven games. I could easily see if things are put together. Yeah. 10 games is not out of the realm of possibility.
I like your optimism.
That's what this show's been missing.
The one thing I will say about the team, we're going to have maybe the best offensive line in the league. So
that help Jameis.
So, right. So look, that can make up for a lot of shortcomings at the receiver position. If Jameis, you know, has some issues here, the linebacker position appears to be pretty good. The defensive end position appears pretty good. The defensive tackle position, that's a question until Onyemata comes back. The cornerback position, it's tough. I mean, look, it's a passing league. And I think that's why we kind of look at the cornerback position. And it's like, well, it's a passing league. We're kind of tight. And look, I'd like to see a Debo come and take it. But the one thing about a Debo that we have to worry about is that he's not vaccinated. So now he's in this separate, stricter protocol. What happens if when something happens, because chances are he's going to get it. So we're going to be without him for a while.
Yeah, or he's going to be a close contact. That's the thing. That's what screwing teams up at the moment with unvaccinated players is the close contact protocol.
Right. So just the fact that he's going to be in such a different protocol, like that's going to hurt, because we are definitely going to need that. We're going to need this guy.
Yeah, I just don't see him. He's not the one that's doing this to make a point while he's also being filmed being out in a club. So I think that a Debo, the way he's attacking this, yes, he's not going to get a vaccine and he's going to be in this. He's also not going to be out in public eating at a restaurant or hanging out with people or having a party at his house.
Yeah, but
I
mean, when
he's taking this to an extreme of what's
how he believes what he thinks. But when he's got five picks in his first seven games and it becomes an instant celebrity here in New Orleans, you know, whenever
Kamara's friends from Christmas will come around.
I mean, there's also Prince Amu Kamara. I mean, anybody with Kamara in their last name is bound to be awesome.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
I think we're only talking about people who are going to be on the roster week one.
Dang.
Ooh.
Damn.
Well, with P. Rob quitting, this helps the cause.
So Prince becomes the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th man up.
The Prince of New Orleans. If we have a Mardi Gras this year, he can be a Prince of a ball.
And Crawfish. If Crawley plays well, we got some Crawfish nicknames we can use.
Wow. The one thing I will say about everything that's happened this offseason, at least it's lowered my expectations, so that if we do exceed the expectations, it's great. But I'm also not like, I'm not so invested so that when we lose a game, I'm going to be like so angry and pissed off. And I always kind of knew the first season after Drew was probably going to be rough no matter what. So instantly, like, the only thing I want to, like I said, the only thing I want to do is beat Atlanta and beat Tennessee when we're all at the game.
To be fair, like, so let's say all this accumulative effect of all these negative things that are going on, and then let's take the roster we have left over. Yes, we start with the Packers. Then we play the Panthers, Patriots, Giants, and Redskins, whatever they're called, the football team.
football team.
We play for
offend everybody, don't you?
We play for subpar football teams that even with our diminished roster and all that, none of their rosters. I mean, I think the Patriots have a really good defense this year, but Cam Newton's still going to be their freaking quarterback probably, or a rookie. None of those four teams worry me, even with the way the roster sits right now with the people that are suspended and injured. And so let's say we lose one of those because that's what we're supposed to do. I think that a really bad start to the season is us starting 3-3. Like it just
– Which we I mean, do.
And then you've got Onyemata and probably not Michael Thomas, but, I mean, you've got Onyemata coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't
– Lutz.
And Lutz will be Lutz coming back around then.
Is Lutz going to play?
Lutz is like eight weeks out, isn't it?
He had surgery today. I mean, I don't know. It's a core injury, but it's a kicker. He kind
of wait.
Somewhere
you can have surgery. You can have surgery.
No, you know what he did?
3 days after being hurt,
only when camp starts.
Well, no. What I'm saying is he probably went up to a non-Louisiana, which will allow elective surgeries right now because here in Louisiana.
Nope. Yeah, what's going on? You guys have gone backwards in time. In the future, it's looking all right for now.
It sucks. And that is not a big
if
question.
You look at the figures that came out today, Ben.
Yeah, we've got to live with it now.
I think the rumors are coming out that now they're going to require masks at the dome, which I kind of figured was going to happen anyway. I just want
full stadium.
Right. I just wanted to allow 100% capacity and. The canceled Jazz Fest.
With Jazz Fest being canceled,
the canceled Red Dress Run.
I am really, really taking the under on Saints fans being in attendance. Or they're going to go to Baton Rouge.
Would they do like, I don't know, there's still talk over here with Smash Sporting events, they're not doing it in the end, but like vaccine passports where you can come in, you can come into the venue if you've had a vaccine.
Do you not know that you need to do that for Premier League games this season, Ben?
No, you don't.
You do. It was announced today.
No, you don't.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
It was announced today.
Round two.
No, it wasn't.
So there is there's an app, LA Wallet, and if you I don't have it yet, but you can get it, and if you've vaccinated, you got proof, and it's instant. So they haven't required it yet, but I'm curious if that's what it takes to get people in the dome. They might. Have to do something like that.
Well, they should make unvaccinated players wear like or not
wristbands?
Players, people. Anyone unvaccinated should have like a badge or something that they have to wear on their shirt so we can tell them apart from other people.
Stay away from this guy. And,
yeah.
Hey, here's our receiver. He's wide open. Nobody wants to get within 6 feet of him.
That's actually
right. Yeah. See what I did. Mm-hmm. So, look, as of now, you know, they haven't announced because
you obviously still have to wear a mask, even if you are.
Yeah.
They allow you to get. That's the thing right now is that they're making masks whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Right. Why
would you need a vaccine passport to get?
Yeah. Look, I don't know. It's a Toya. Like, who knows?
I think the vaccine is not the concern. The mask is the concern.
Right. Which, look, if it means a full dome. I don't give a shit. I'm ready. I want a full dome. I went to that one game last year and it's
you must wear your mask as you walk into the dome. You may take it off when you get to your seat and then you must wear it if you go to the concourse. Like,
you can't get COVID in your seat.
I mean, our gym's doing that. You have to wear a mask as you walk in, but when you get to your exercise equipment, you can take it off.
So that is going to be the thing too. If they do require the mask. Now I know like at Pelicans games, there weren't enough people and they had so many workers and it's a smaller area where like if you took it off and you weren't eating or drinking anything, they would tell you to put it back on. Yeah, now in the Superdome, when you got, you know, it's a lot more area to cover and, you know, can they actually enforce it? I don't know, but I just know I want people in the dome.
I want to go to Tennessee.
Is LaToya getting reelected in 2 months?
Probably.
I can't remember the last time I wore a mask.
All right.
Today, on the bus on the way home from work.
I wore one today when I was at work.
Yeah, I wore one to the gym, right? Like Scott said, I walked
while you were swimming.
You didn't have to wear it in the pool.
I had to wear it in the pool. Yeah.
Show up with like one of those old diving tanks.
The metal, with the trap door in the front.
The door in the front, the glass in the front. That's what you need to do.
That would be awesome. Let's find me one.
Or show up in scuba gear.
All right. One other thing about the whole like Breeze to Winston or Taysom, it doesn't matter. I think, you know, we've exhausted the whole like arm strength, Breeze wasn't himself, blah, blah, blah. But the other thing we need to consider is what's the drop off of the pre-snap impact? Because I think that is one thing, like regardless of whether Drew Brees could throw the ball 30 yards or not, before the snap, like half the time he's diagnosed, changed the play, done whatever he needs to do. And there's a lot that he impacted before the ball was ever snapped. And can Winston or Taysom or Book live up to that? No. I mean, can they?
I mean, maybe eventually. I don't know. I mean, that's just based on film study and what the opposite team is going to be doing and running. And nowadays they disguise things so well, you know, it's hard to even tell, you know. That's why you have check downs and things like that. It's just going to be whether, you know, their quarterback forces it into a, no pun intended, tight hole, or if he checks down to other receivers.
Peyton's not going to give Winston, Hill, or Book the same autonomy that he gave Breeze to diagnose and call plays at the line of scrimmage. It's just not going to happen, is it? Because Breeze basically helped Peyton write that playbook that he ran. You know, I think the biggest miss we're going to get with Breeze is in the 2-minute drill. That's where we're going to miss Breeze the most.
And the way our defense is, you know, or has been in the past, you know, we have a lot of those 2-minute drills because the defense will give up points late in the game based on the past. I'm not saying that it's going to be this way this year, but.
Oh, they just will.
I mean, history showing you. You know, how many times have we said we scored too fast? You know,
oh, that's not going to happen
every time.
That's not going to happen anymore.
Can we talk some positives coming from camp, such as like the talk B. about Cesar? Cesar Ruiz looking like he's made strides from year one to year two. Juwan Johnson's apparently had an absolute day at camp, and he's looking like he could be a contributor at tight end for us. So there are some positives.
Touchdowns the last 2 days.
Yeah, there are some positives coming out of camp.
Who was it?
Along with all the negatives.
That's why P. Rob's retiring.
Yeah. So, but no, there are some positives coming out. So it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
Just take the season for what it is.
Callaway, I mean, again, like Callaway is living up to, you know, as advertised, or if not better.
I still can't get used to the number one jersey on him, though. That's just weird.
I like it.
Do you?
Appearing the two best players, offensive and defense, at all the camp has been Lattimore and Davenport, and they've been, I mean, like showing out is the two of them just basically dominating everybody they go against, which until yesterday, Callaway caught a touchdown on Lattimore. It was the first touchdown he's given up preseason.
He's Michael Thomas.
So there we go. Right.
Hey, Callaway
Callaway has more touchdowns against Lattimore than Mike Evans.
But also Chris Evans, touchdowns. Yes. Only when Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing quarterback.
Who's drafting Callaway in there as one of their wide receivers in fantasy this year?
I think the only draftable one is Kamara at this point.
No, Jameis is definitely draftable.
Okay, you take him.
Oh, I know you won't.
I mean,
it's not consistent enough for Scott.
Right, definitely not.
There has to be a Saints wide receiver that does get taken. I mean,
right? Yeah, right. I mean,
they're gonna throw the ball.
It's gonna be Callaway, maybe Big Fish.
Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing the fish. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll see how Trayvon comes back.
Okay, so where's he been in camp, Troutman? What are we hearing from him?
He's been good.
Yeah. Everybody's excited about his progression from year one to year two.
Okay. So we talk about Lutz's injury. This Brett Maher is signed.
The only person in NFL history to have 3 field goals over 60 yards.
Oh, really?
On his record.
Yep.
He also went like 20 of 30 the last year that he played.
Yeah. He's a career 71% field goal kicker.
He will miss some, but he's got some leg.
This definitely screams of the 2007 and 2008 Sean Payton kicker era.
Last year, he did not miss an extra point.
Didn't play last year.
How many did he attempt?
36.
Oh, I didn't even think he was in the league last year.
I didn't think Mara played last year.
He didn't last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was 2019. You're right. It was 2020
was his last
year. In his last year.
Oh, okay.
He did not.
I'm surprised we haven't seen Garrett Hartley. Which lacrosse team was he on last year?
Were him and Hogan on the same lacrosse team?
Played in the Euros last year.
Well, yes. Speaking of what Ben said, that is interesting. Like Garrett Hartley.
No. Every year posted videos of kicking.
He's ready to kick.
I will say I know a little bit about some behind the scenes stuff on Hartley. So there was a few years ago where he got flown around to Houston, Philadelphia, and a few different teams to get a chance to kick. I know somebody in New Orleans that used to be his landlord, and they said there's absolutely no way he went to any team and ever passed a drug test. There's absolutely not. 100%. There's no way.
He looks like he wouldn't pass a drug test.
And yeah, I mean, take that for what it's worth, but it was somebody who like sometimes received a rent check from him every month that said he had lots of problems and they could never see him actually being signed on by an NFL team, even though he was still putting that on social media, like he was kicking and in shape and all that. They said there's absolutely no way. Nobody would ever interview him and give him a contract. Scott, you're not banging the table for Cole Tracy?
Ooh. I'll take him. Is he with somebody? I thought he signed with somebody.
No.
I'll take Cole Tracy.
Fuck no.
I'll take Cole Tracy.
I think he would do great on extra points. I think that he would really struggle in the NFL from very much distance.
I hear our punter's really good. He might hit the top of the dome.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who keeps hitting Blake the Gilligan. Top of the
practice. He's at like 5 second hang times that he's
5.38 he had as a max.
But how many yards?
This dude. Six. What? Straight up, straight down.
How many meters is that, James?
Does that matter?
How many meters is that, James?
15 meters.
Yeah.
They've never got a distance measured because they all hit the ceiling and bounce off.
They did have him on the practice squad last year.
It's a dropkick play that you can punt the ball through the uprights or something.
That's rugby. No one cares about that.
No, there's a football.
You can do that in the NFL.
There's one in the NFL.
Doug Flutie.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah.
Can't Taysom kick?
I'm sure he could.
Taysom's focusing on his press conference skills.
He's got those big calves and big legs.
Jameis has the leg up because he's better at press conferences.
Leg up. I see what you did there.
I actually didn't do it on purpose.
I know you didn't do it on purpose.
That was like three layers of joke. All right. Anything else on the Saints? Because I do have an NFL thing.
Do you want to do a game preview? I mean, it's pretty good. It's going to be vanilla.
Preseason. There's not.
Okay,
really.
So let me ask you this. Who takes the first snap at quarterback?
It'll be Hill, I reckon.
It won't matter, though, will it?
I'm just asking.
I'm guessing it'll be Jameis because he'll want to play Jameis. Now
I think it'll be Taysom.
Yeah, I think he'll give it to Taysom week one.
Yeah, it'll be in book.
That would be funny.
Yeah, the birthmark on the face.
Does Alvin Kamara play in week one?
No,
I wouldn't play him at all.
I wouldn't play him at all in the preseason.
Nope. Thank you.
He's the one guy you can't afford to get injured.
Not at this point. You can't.
We've got a strong running back room. There's no point.
Like, I'm worried
I'm curious to see Devonta Freeman in action.
I'm worried too. That he might get hurt, Kamara, from just either overuse.
He will be overused.
I mean, it's crazy because we know that Murray
present
is ready to get carries, and you're paying really this guy, and yet. You know, we signed Freeman and, Sean Payton, for whatever reason, even though we think he should give a guy the ball to take some carries, whether it was Ingram beforehand or whoever, and he just doesn't do it. But it seems like with the offensive line we have, we should give Murray a ton of carries considering we're going to need Kamara elsewhere on the field.
Okay, yeah. So Juwan Johnson is 100% a tight end?
Yes.
And Ty Montgomery is 100% a receiver?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay, I'm happy about this.
And Ruiz is 100% a guard.
Yeah,
they're not even working him like third string center just in case somebody gets hurt and has to be moved around. Like he's 100% playing guard.
Will Clapp is the backup center.
Yes.
All right. See, now we're throttling up to like 7, 8, 9 games now. Is that right?
Six. In the back. 9-8.
17-0.
Oh, <shit. laughs> there you go. All right, so here's a quick NFL rule change. Or I don't know if it's necessarily a rule change, but it was announced that they plan to cut down on taunting. This year, they're going to hone in and call a lot more taunting penalties, and I wonder what that's going to mean for CJ DJ.
He's going to be suspended.
He doesn't taunt. People hit him.
This is true. So this is going to improve his game.
They don't hear what he says. I think they mean it more for touchdowns or things like that.
Or just even random plays where a receiver gets a great play and then he spikes the ball in the dude's face. It's
like, this is a huge problem. I think this is one of those stupid things. And part of the whole fun of watching the game is watching the players' reactions when things happen. Now, what are we going to get?
It gives them a personality.
Right.
You know, they just want everybody to be robots and just be uniform and not do anything.
But are they still allowed to do touchdown celebrations?
I don't know. I mean, are the Saints allowed once they get a pick or a turnover to take the picture? I don't know.
And that's the thing, because it's like fans love this kind of stuff. But of course, what are they going to do? Take this away from the fans.
That's all the fucking promos that the NFL would run was right.
It makes the league fun. Like nobody cares about taunting. Nobody cares. Why does the league care? Why do they?
Because we have to protect the feelings.
Well, you know why? Because
the best at it. Protect the shield.
Right. Because CJG got a guy kicked out of the game, and we knew they were going to come back with this.
That was like when they fined him last year after the game. They came back and said they couldn't find any audio of exactly what he said. But he must have said something really bad. Like, what are we talking about? Like,
yo, mama, so fat.
I mean, thought crime.
The NFL, it honestly amazes me. It's like Kamara's game against the Vikings, and then he got fined for the cleats he wore, but they took those cleats and put them straight in the canton. And just
they're using it as advertisement this year in the offseason.
Exactly. And you're just like, hang on, you just fined the guy for this. Yeah. They're a crazy bunch.
The NFL just manages to be successful in spite of themselves. It's amazing.
They try.
But look, I mean, look, you heard, I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the Hall of Fame ceremonies. I didn't really watch a lot, but I saw some of Peyton's speech. That sounds like a future commissioner.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
How soon?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I would hope it'd be tomorrow. Fuck Adele.
Maybe you won't hate the Saints. You won't hate the Saints until we might actually get favorable calls.
We actually might get rules and calls in our favor.
Potentially.
Nah.
I think he's going to get a GM role somewhere.
I mean, I would have thought that already. I mean, he could.
He's had opportunities too, but he's had opportunities to be in front offices and he's turned it down.
But if he's got a lot more power as commissioner, of an entire league. I can see that,
and I think it's further in the future to where does he have any kids?
I would assume.
Yeah. Okay, so if he has kids, they'll be older by then. He might just want to be at home with them right now and not miss the things that he knows
the commissioner would ruin his pristine reputation. Like people will then dislike him. Right now, nobody dislikes Peyton Manning. But once you become commissioner and you have to piss some fan base off, then you become
No. I mean, look, nobody. Nah. Well, no, hold on. Nobody hated Pete Tagliabue.
Paul
Tagliabue. Whatever. Sorry, I was thinking Pete Rozelle.
He hated him so much he called him Pete.
Pete was really
Pete and Pete. Bam, 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 bam. Sorry, I was thinking of Pete Rozelle, but yeah, like nobody hated Paul Tagliabue. Everybody hates Goodell because
an asshole. But he's a prick.
Goodell's been there too long now. He's got to
be fair. I mean, he's making $40 million a year. Like, who cares if you are liked or not?
Well,
he definitely doesn't. And I know he's the puppet of the owners, but I mean, I guess Peyton would still.
But
be
I'm just
the
saying,
puppet,
with Peyton Manning, I mean, he's selling his soul to do insurance commercials and every Asian single commercial.
Nationwide is on like, your side.
He could just get one job and get $40 million a year.
Well, so he is doing the alternative broadcast on Monday Night Football now with Eli.
That's going to be good.
I can't wait to watch.
Right, and I don't think it's every game.
from what I understand, I think it's going to be a selection of a few games, but I think once they see how popular it is and people are going to be watching that as opposed to the other one, like, I could see it be more popular. Because I don't know how analytical they're going to get. Like, I heard they're going to have, like, guests
I hope they just like joke that. With each other. Hey, like, man, you remember that time I gave you a nookie in second grade?
But imagine if Drew Brees joined that broadcast. Have Drew and Peyton.
It wouldn't be the comical balance that you think you're going to get with Eli.
Yeah, a two-man booth better than the three-man booth.
They need Cooper.
They're doing 10 games.
He's the one with the personality.
10 games.
Okay. 10 games
each of the next three seasons.
Three seasons.
And it's on ESPN2 simulcast with the ESPN game.
Well, I could tell you.
I'll watch that.
I am definitely going to watch
over ESPN.
Yes, 100% I'm watching
that. I bet you Louisiana, you're going to get almost 100% market saturation from Louisiana, Indianapolis, and Denver.
In New York, where Ash is from.
He's got half and half. Some people hate Eli.
I was talking about Mississippi and Tennessee.
Didn't think about that.
We get it over here. I'm not sure. And, we probably won't get it over here.
And wherever Arch ends up going.
All right. Final thoughts, real quick, fast, rapid fire round. Ben,
looking forward to the season. So I haven't got much optimism. It's weird going into the first season of me being a Saints fan without Drew Brees under center, but I'm ready for it, and I'm more than happy to sit back and not overreact. I say that now, but I'm sure the 2-point conversion will be full of my overreactions to games, and gives you back, and see you on the 2-point conversion.
17-0, Jameis Winston's throwing 6,000 yards, and I can't wait to see Scott's face.
I like it, Scott.
It's not consistent enough.
My final thought is, I love Jameis Winston.
Hey! This intervention worked. Wes?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said about the cumulative effect of all these small negatives that have happened. But in general, I think we have a better offensive line than we had last year. We have a better running back room. We've got a better overall defensive line because I think our defensive ends are changing a lot. Better linebacker room and better safeties, if not just more experience in the safety. Same safeties, but more experience. Cornerback is a question, and receiver is a question. I think that everywhere else we've upgraded or stayed the same. And I just think that Peyton, the greatness of his coaching has been hampered the last few years because he has been putting a game plan around Drew Brees and what he can and can't do. I think that he's going to be creative as a coach again, which we haven't gotten to see necessarily in a consistent game plan. We've seen it a couple plays a game in the last few years. We're going to be able to see it every game now. I think that the small negatives don't outweigh some of the positives and where we've upgraded.
Thank you. Jason, final thought.
So based on everything he just said, I'm back! I'm ready. Now, I will say, I've lowered my expectations, but the good thing is I'm going to go into the season with no real pressure, no real worry to, like, it's not Super Bowl or bust the way it has been with Brees, because we all wanted Brees to get number two, because it just makes such a big difference. But now that we don't have that, I'm ready to just have a fun season. If we lose some games, fine. It's not the end of the world. We're going to win some games that we shouldn't. It's going to be fun. So I'm going to enjoy where we are. And I just hope to God that we have a full stadium this season. That's kind of my biggest worry, because, a few months ago, I was like, it's going to be fine. We're going to have a full dome. The dome's going to be back. It's going to be back to normal. And
even if they don't let you go to the games in New Orleans, you will be going to one game this year in Tennessee.
Hopefully.
Tennessee don't care.
Well, no, Tennessee is probably more vaccinated than Louisiana is, but I don't know. I don't live in Tennessee. I don't know. But yeah, look, I'm excited to enjoy a somewhat regular-ish season, and whatever happens, you know, it's land yet. You know, I, like I said, always knew the year after Brees, who knows what's going to happen. We got to figure out what's the next step to wherever we're going to be.
It starts Saturday to know what is going to happen. We get a sneak peek.
And, I am actually very so. I'm this I is the, this is the Saturday. First preseason game that I've been excited for since 2006,
yeah.
probably.
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United network of podcasts, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including Ben's 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, that's this one right here, the BSN Beer Saints Podcast with Dave Romero, the Pelican Plunge Podcast with Jason, the Premier League Podcast with Ben and James, the Tiger's Den with Scott, and Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. Follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, Dome Patrol UK, BS and Beer Media, Taking the Over, and Tiger_Podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. If you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, you can go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Michael Thomas, donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.